Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, back and better than ever from the owners' meetings, NFL owners' meetings in Orlando.
You made it home safely on I-4?
Oh, my God. Yes. 3 feet, one wheel turn at a time I did on I-4. That is, ladies and gentlemen, the worst and perhaps most dangerous highway in America. And there is no time to drive. I talked to people all weekend about this, and everybody came up or went home at different times of the day and night. It doesn't seem to matter. There's a steady artery of clogged traffic, and it just doesn't abate ever. And it doesn't matter the direction you're going. God forbid there's an accident, because you will sit there for 3 hours. And as these things go, I was relatively unscathed in terms of, you know, terrible delays. But going up there on Monday, I think I left at 9:30. It took me 3 hours. And I'm not going to Orlando. I'm going to like Celebration, like Grand Lakes, Orlando. You know what I mean? Like this side of Orlando, if you will, almost to Buena Vista area, but on the across the interstate. So it wasn't like I was, you know, venturing deep into it. But man, I mean, just, you know, in the detours that you wind up taking, if you're doing Waze on the app or trying to figure out how to avoid some of that backup, just awful, awful stuff. I don't know the number, but it would be a big one for somebody to make me have to commute. There are people that commute there, apparently, from this area and work in Orlando.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't either. I there isn't enough podcast, calm music, chamber music, jazz music. I don't care what you listen to. Phone calls I could make. Nothing could keep my mind off of that. It would be unbelievable. It really is. It's just, you just dread it. And I was only gone for 2 days. So who am I to complain? Because I got to sit around and hang out with a bunch of NFL owners, executives, GMs, former players, broadcasters, ESPN. We've dropped so many names. I don't think we can possibly lift them anymore. But it was a fun couple of days. And on Tuesday, had a chance to go to the NFC coaches breakfast. And that is exactly as it sounds. All the NFC coaches are there. They have tables assigned to them, and there are chairs around said tables. And if you don't believe that I wasn't there, somehow, and this is usually something we try not to do, we used an Associated Press photo, I believe, of Todd Bowles at his particular table assigned to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And yes, that is me in the front, three people away from Todd Bowles. Somehow the reporter is in this photo, as are others, by the way. But interesting shot nonetheless. And whatever he's saying, I'm definitely keyed into. But it was, you know, these things generally don't scream headlines, and this one didn't either, really, to be honest with you. But there was sort of some good lines that I was able to kind of call from it, and as well as, you know, some things that Todd said about what's going to happen with his defense and you know, sort of his plans for guys. But I would start with this, that the one that struck me is, you know, once again, of course, the Bucs are not picked to win the division. You know, the sort of fresh team, if you will, are the Atlanta Falcons. And why? It's pretty obvious. They have a new head coach. There's excitement about that with Raheem Morris, who I think is excellent. And I think he's going to be excellent, given a little bit of quarterback play. And that takes us to the quarterback, which is Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins has had a lot of success in this league. Now he's, you know, well into his 30s, and he's coming off an Achilles injury, which aren't normally things that you know, want to have happen to you at that age and at that position. But having said that, everybody is all about the Falcons winning the NFC South. And despite the fact that they finished 7-10 each of the last 3 years, and, you know, there's and Las Vegas doesn't, like, they're pretty astute about putting these numbers out because they like to win. And one gambling site has the under-over for Falcons wins at 10.5. That's the over-under. Only one team in the NFC over-under is higher than that. It's the 49ers. They've been to the Super Bowl a bunch of times. And so that's how much love that the Atlanta Falcons are getting, right or wrong. But it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that have won the NFC South the last 3 years in a row and have been to the playoffs four straight seasons, which is, the last time I checked, the longest active streak in the NFC. So R-E-S-P-C-T, find out what it means to Todd Bowles. Yeah, he quoted the lady that made that song famous. He said, it's no different. You're talking about respect. And he goes, Aretha Franklin is probably the only one who gets that. So everybody else, you just kind of go with the flow. And he goes, and I love this line. He goes, look, we're not trying to win the offseason. We're trying to win the season. So our focus is going to be the same. And it obviously fuels a lot of the players and whatnot. But all that matters is that they just want to, win the division again, get back into the playoffs, and then hope that they're able to advance further than they were last year, which is to the NFC divisional playoff game. But it's always an interesting dynamic over there just to see a room of circular tables with every coach in the NFC there. It was the AFC breakfast was on Monday. Quite a spectacle, and you're able to walk around and kind of talk to other coaches and, in my case, dap up Raheem and all that. But it was a good talk because I think, in addition to Bowles just talking about where they're at, there was also some discussion about his defense, which I thought was interesting. And we'll get to Baker Mayfield in a minute, but, he talked about how he has chess pieces. I thought it was an interesting way to say it because, everybody go, oh, he's playing checkers, not chess. That is crazy. He's playing checkers. Everybody else playing chess. Well, Todd Bowles plays chess with his pieces out there, and he's known for, his acumen, defensive acumen, and pressure packages and all of that. He said he has at least four sort of, I would call them wild cards, but chess pieces that he can use anywhere on the defense, and they are sort of A to Z, if you will. Antoine Winfield Jr., Levante David, Joe Tryon Shawinka, and Zion McCallum. And if you want to go further, you could probably at some point also add Jordan Whitehead, although we're not there quite yet. But those four guys, Winfield, Levante David, Tryon Shawinka, and McCallum, they can play at any level of the defense. They can be up on the line of scrimmage. They can blitz. They can cover. They can play deep. They can play back. They can play zone. And he said, other people can do some jobs, but those four guys in particular right now, they're the ones that can do a lot of jobs. And so he looks at them as his chess pieces, which I thought was an interesting way to put it. I think they got better. I mean, look, Bowles raved about Whitehead, and rightfully so. He's a different player than the one that left here a couple of years ago to go to the Jets as a free agent. I was surprised at the time that he did get out of here. I know they had other priorities as far as signing free agents and whatnot. You can't keep everybody, but that was a miss. He wasn't a guy that was going to make $20 million someplace else. That was somebody they should have found a way to keep, and they didn't. And I think it cost them because we've seen the Ryan Neal and the Logan Ryans and, all these different guys come in here and try to play that other safety position. It just hasn't worked out. Jordan Whitehead came back as a better player than the guy that left because his role here when he played in Tampa after being drafted here out of Pittsburgh, his role here was a downhill, sometimes in the box, but certainly nearer to the line of scrimmage, run thumper. That's what he did. He'd come downhill. There'd be big collisions, and he was going to take you out. He's not, from a height standpoint, the biggest guy in the world, but he is rocked up. I mean, this dude spends a lot of time in the weight room, and he will blow you the heck up. And that's sort of what he did for them. And that helped Levante David, quite frankly. And, of course, they had Devin White going back to the Super Bowl years. But those two, according to Bowles, are the best communicators. There's like one in each level where, you know, and Winfield does a good job too, but it was Jordan, Whitehead, then Labonte, and then in the defensive line, it was Vita Vea. He's the guy that's calling out the stunts and the different line adjustments and things. So those are kind of the guys that that communicate. But they're really happy to get Jordan back because he came back. He left as a downhill run thumper, which he still absolutely can do. But he came back as a bit of a ball hawk, and that was not part of his game in Tampa. You know, when he went and played with the Jets and Robert Saleh, he ended up playing, you know, sort of quarters coverage and halves coverage and things like that, where he was responsible for some deeper zones. And that's how he wound up with like six or seven interceptions, I think, with the Jets, including three on opening day last year against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So he's learned how to play some zone. He's learned how to cover up receivers. And more importantly, when the ball's thrown his way, he's catching it. He's making interceptions. So he's better in that sense. He's just a better all-around player. And I think they really have something with this kid because – you know, there was sort of a hole they were trying to spackle with many, many different players, and they couldn't quite do it. And, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr., I mean, he's a all pro, and we saw all the hustle plays and him trying to cover up a lot of mistakes for the defense a year ago. He never quits on anything. But to be able to get Jordan Whitehead back, I mean, Bowles was just effusive. And Jason Light, when we talked to him after the breakfast of the Bucks GM, he said, you know, almost from the time that Jordan Whitehead left, we've both kind of been trying to get back together again in a sense, because Whitehead was sort of, you know, targeting the Bucks as much as they were targeting him. So it all kind of worked out perfectly for him. But I think they're going to be better on defense. And, you know, with Tryon Cuenca, Bull said something today I didn't really think about, but I think they've resolved that this is the case. They're not going to try to force him to just be, you know, an outside linebacker like a Shaq Barrett, right, or an Anthony Nelson. They see him in his versatility and athleticism as a guy that they're doing him as a disservice unless they move him around. You know, sometimes he'll line up at outside linebacker and he'll beat his guy around the end and the quarterback gets rid of the ball or whatever. So his sack numbers have not been, you know, what they had hoped at this point. But he sets up a lot of things for other players. And he's a guy that you can play inside the middle of your defense, maybe as a three technique or a stand-up linebacker. You certainly can rush him from the outside as an outside pass rusher. And you can drop him into coverage. He can chase down ball. He's just really, really gifted from an athleticism standpoint. And so that's how they plan to kind of use him as that, you know, that joker player, the one that you could put anywhere in the deck. And so I thought that was interesting perspective. Anthony Nelson, of course, is back, who's an outside linebacker. But losing Shaq, I think, sort of sets up this way that I don't know what's in the draft, you know, especially in the first round when they get down there to 26 or 27 where they're at. But if there's an outside pass rusher, always, right, but in particular for this team, if you can find a guy to come off the edge, you know, 20 times a game or whatever, I think the Bucks would do well to try to find that person to at least create some depth and fortify it. I know they got Marquise Watts that they really liked last year that got hurt, that was a guy that made the team as an undrafted free agent. I mean, they got some dudes still that they really like, but I could see them maybe going that direction if it's not an offensive lineman or a wide receiver, which is also you know, bountiful in this draft. The other thing we're able to do at the these owners' meetings outside the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, we're, by the way, rates out there. I remember staying, the way the business has changed, and when I say the business, I mean the business of the NFL and maybe journalism too. But so they have Grand Lakes Resort out there has a combination. There's a JW Marriott and there's a convention area, and there's also sort of in between the two, and then there's also a Ritz-Carlton, which even back in the day when the NFL would offer media rates, I couldn't afford the Ritz-Carlton, but I did stay at the JW quite a few times. Not anymore. The room rate for this week was over $1,000 a night. Whoa, babe. And we're talking about a hotel that most times, if there's not a convention there, because that's what it's used for, you can get in for under $200. So it's kind of a, yeah, it's capitalism at its worst, perhaps. But be that as it may, you know, they have these breakfasts, which I mentioned. And then after all that, the owners had been meeting and voting on some proposals, which we'll get into in just a second with respect to the kickoff. And, you know, also a certainly tackling method that they're trying to outlaw. But we had a chance to talk to Joel Glazer, and I've not done that in a while. I guess he maybe have been available for a few minutes a couple of years ago, and that was after Bruce Arians left the meetings early, and then we found out by Wednesday that he, in fact, was resigning. No such drama this time, thankfully. It's as I wrote, it's a good time to be the Glazers, to be honest with you, because, you know, you've had this success, and it's been a string of success, four straight years in the postseason, a bunch of home playoff games, you know, obviously the Tom Brady era. And now Baker Mayfield, who, you know, comes in here on his fourth team in 15, 16 months, and all he has to do is replace the GOAT, you know? And my way of thinking, and most people, is like, you don't want to be the guy after the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy after, that's after the guy. And that didn't, but it never affected Baker. He didn't blink. He came in here, he worked, and we know he had, you know, such a good season. And the Glazers, you know, they were very proud of it. If, you know, talking to Joel, he just said that, you know, that it never made sense to him that why they were picked to be at the bottom of the league. And he said that's kind of what made it even more gratifying when they did start winning. It was more fun because, you know, they were able to kind of shut people up. But he said, you know, look, we got to build. You got to build off of last year. And he expects them to. Like, this is not an ownership that, despite all the salary cap ramifications and, you know, a lot of hand-wringing about what you're going to do, and you're going to – they still expect to win. That's the job. And that's what – that's all they're interested in, is winning. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, he just said that he's looking forward to this year, and that they need to take another step. You know, that's their goal, is to win another Super Bowl. And as you noted, there's plenty of room in the trophy case for him. But the satisfying part was, after watching them get off to a 3-1 start, and then they hit that lull, is seeing them dig out of it. And he really credited Todd Bowles and sort of that steady hand. I think that's when Bowles' demeanor — Steve, I get so many letters, you know, it's like, oh, look at the guy, arms folded, no emotion, his team is flat. That's just who he is, man, and you got to be who you are. But Bowles' calm among chaos, his ability to just sort of like stick to what can help them win and fix those things, I think that's why they did win. And I thought he did a hell of a job. And frankly, obviously the Glazers did too. Like, they were really, really happy with what Jason Light was able to do. And when the turnaround came, according to Joel, he said it just made it that much more special, because people had just written us off. They've written the quarterback off. And he goes, but we could see the games. We weren't that far away. So good for the Glazers, man. And good for, obviously, Baker Mayfield and all of that, for sticking it out together. But it's kind of a nice time if you're the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you've come through a free, you know, a sort of a free agency where you got back Baker and you got back Mike Evans and Lavonte David, some, you know, legacy players here. They're feeling really good about themselves, and I think they should.
No question about it. I mean, as we've said, you never want to win the offseason.
Right.
But all the priorities Jason Light had going into the offseason, he's pretty much checked all those boxes.
I think so.
Now, you still got to figure out an edge rusher or two, but you got the draft. You may want some help at, maybe you want more depth at receiver and tight end, and in interior offensive line, you could use some more help too. But like you said, you got the draft, you got secondary free agency coming. But the big priorities they needed to accomplish in free agency, they've checked all those boxes.
Yes, sir.
Were any of them splashy? You know, like, we've talked for years where they, you know, signed Vincent Jackson, a bunch of free agents, and they win the offseason and do nothing. Like,
because Vincent Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, yeah. I mean,
yeah, Deshaun 5. Deshaun was the one I was thinking, not Vincent.
Yeah, Vincent actually played well, yeah. But he was another splashy hire for sure.
Yep. But so they've checked all those boxes, and they brought back the guy, and the guys know the system. They know the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's important too. Like,
continuity.
There's no learning curve in that. Now, there's going to be a little bit with the offense because it is going to change slightly with Liam Cohen, but it'll be similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all the moves they've made, and sure, if experts and the national pundits want to pick Atlanta to win the division, great. I mean, Peter King had the Bucs 31st in the NFL last year.
Yeah, he did. Connor Orr of SI had him winning two games.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, whatever national pundits pick means nothing. Like,
right.
You know, this isn't college football rankings where the early season rankings don't mean anything. But actually, if you're not picked fairly high early, it's harder to get back up there.
That's true.
No matter how good you are. The NFL doesn't have that. It's purely based on what's your record. Your record is what you are. That's all the NFL doesn't have rankings. It doesn't have seedings and committees and what's your record. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as Todd Bowles said, I'm not trying to win the offseason. I'm trying to win another division title. That's what you're winning.
That's the job. You can't get to the Super Bowl unless you win your division. I mean, you can get there as a wild card, but your only guarantee of being in the tournament is to win your damn division. And that's what they've done 3 years in a row. And I think the division is going to be better. I think. Great. I don't know. But Derek Carr in his second year with the Saints sounds like something that would be better than his first year. I don't think Bryce Young could be anywhere close to what he was a year ago when they only won a couple games.
Well, if he is, then Dave Canales is going to be on the hot seat after one year.
He's going to be one and done. Yeah, real fast. And then, you know, and then, of course, Atlanta is sort of that it team. Again, I like Raheem. I like Kirk Cousins. And I think Drake London and some of those guys are really, really good. They can run the football for sure. They can play some defense. It's not, you know, the 85 Bears, but they're good. So I could see Atlanta staying in this thing for a while, but I still look at the Bucs and I think, you know, you can't assume they're going to play the way they did last year. You're going to have the same injuries and stuff. And that's the thing that Bowles made clear is like, look, it doesn't matter about the off season because every single year is different. What we did last year, we got a different team. We have a different team and we're still forming that team. And we're going to add players through the draft and we might have a secondary, batch of free agents. And you're a long way to kind of putting the puzzle together. Certainly the Glazers were happy about the way things went. They love Baker Mayfield. I don't think that's too strong a word. Baker, by the way, is buying a house on Davis Islands. Do you know another quarterback that used to live? Oh, yeah. Tom Brady.
He lived at St. Petersburg.
Yeah, he did. I don't know. I've heard that they're going to tear down St. Petersburg, but I'm not sure. I think another billionaire might be coming into to do something with that. I don't know. But congratulations to Baker, now the homeowner. And I look forward to his progressive commercials out there at some point. We'll see.
Jane Castor coming over to give the key to the city?
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't he have to do something on the pirate ship, though? Like, you know, if you the best commercials were the ones at the Brown Stadium, you know, with the book club and different things.
I don't know who the insurance company, the sponsor of the Bucs is. I don't.
Well, that might. You know what? You make a good point. Maybe they're not progressive. Those are progressive commercials, right?
Correct.
So maybe it's Jake and State Farm. I have no idea, but that could be a good reason. But boy, I'd love to see him. You know, almost as a Jack Sparrow type character. You know, swinging from the sails or something over there. Nothing too dangerous, but you know what I'm saying.
You can always have a stunt double.
Yeah, it's made to order for for stadium type. You know, stadium type commercials. It'd be really, really cool. We did. Speaking of stadiums, we asked Joe Glazer. And when I say we, I mean like the collective Tampa Bay media asked him about a Raymond James Stadium, and you know that thing it opened in 1998, and you know the sort of the life cycle of these things are shorter and shorter, and they're certainly inside of 30 years, sometimes 20, 25 years. So it's reasonable to think that they're going to try to get in the stadium game soon. He wasn't going there, man. He was not budging. And he just said that, you know, it's not something. And then he stopped and said, you know, we're looking at what we have to do and how we can improve it. Well, they can improve it by building a dome or putting a roof over it because it's god-awful hot. And from what I understand, sort of the awning system that they did in Miami is you know, really expensive and not that good to begin with. So I don't know when it's coming, folks, but I would just be surprised if in the next, I don't know, 5 years, to be sort of conservative perhaps, you might see the mentioning of, hey, this stadium's kind of old. Can we do anything to upgrade it? And therefore, if we do, maybe we get some Super Bowls or whatnot. The other thing that struck me is that, you know, we asked We asked Joel about the job that Jason has done, which by all outward appearances is pretty remarkable, getting all his guys re-signed and whatever. Here's the thing that struck me. He's been the GM of this franchise now for 10 years. 10 years. Like in a bat of an eye. It's incredible. And there's just not that many GMs that are still with their, you know, their teams, so to speak, the way Jason is.
You know, we have some incredible tenure around here.
Right? Kevin Cash.
We're going to talk tomorrow to Mark Topkin. Kevin Cash is getting ready to start his 10th season.
Yeah.
John Cooper's been the head coach of Lightning for 11 years.
Has it been 11? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That went fast.
Yeah, he was hired in around this time of year in 13.
Holy cow. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it's incredible. 10. And then Jason Light, you said 10 years. I mean, all three of the franchises, some of the leadership's been there a decade or more.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible. And they got some legacy players, obviously, back with Levante and Mike Evans. We talked to them a little bit about that. They're also, you know, I've owned this team for nearly 30 years. And when you ask, you know, when you ask Joel about it, he goes, yeah, you know, it's great. He goes, but you get a taste of it and you get a ring and a second ring and you want a third. So we're like, is there a room in that facility for a third Lombardi? Oh, yeah. Oh, we got room. I love that you've got owners that want to just not put a product on the field and get people to pay for it and go to the games. They want the hardware. Like they're big game hunters. They want the Lombardi Trophy. And if you're not going to play for that, what are you playing for, right? It takes a ton of luck, a ton of breaks, and really, really good players. But if I'm a Bucks fan, I can just tell you this, that you definitely want owners that are hungry, you know, for more, that aren't satisfied and you know, are sort of kind of go for it. But, yeah, spot for another trophy? Absolutely they do. And it was good to talk to Joel. And you know, I will say this too about the Glazers, you know, for so many years I've been going and doing these meetings. And obviously I know them and I like them as a family. I think they do a lot that they don't seek credit for or get credit for, which is fine. But, you know, in general, they're much more comfortable. And I don't know about what happens out in, you know, general public, but in like an owner's meeting setting, but just interacting with people and people that see them, you know, a lot, like me, like other beat writers, like, you know, they'll just, the other day, Joel just came up, started talking, and then Brian, same thing, he's there with his wife and a couple of kids. It's fun to see the growth of, you know, their ownership and Darcy doing so much for women in sports and, you know, the sort of, the thing that they did where they have 25 coaches that are going to go to mini camp, right? And then some of them will be invited back for training camp. And it's an international thing. It's just, you know, they've done a lot and they've won, but they can win more. And I think that that's sort of their sole focus is, okay, how do we get back? You know, we were close last year, tied in the fourth quarter of a divisional championship. If you win that game, you're fighting to play for to go to the Super Bowl. How do we take another step? And that's important to them. And I think that's what you want from an owner. You want somebody that you know was never satisfied. Even a year ago, when everybody was, you know, was picking them to be the worst team in football, you know, Joel didn't listen to that. But more than that, like Joel was like, I expect us to make the playoffs. Like that was his attitude. It was like, what? Yeah, I know we have salary cap problems. I know we don't have Brady. You know what? I expect us to make the playoffs, you know, and they did. And they did it even though they had that horrendous start. But as Joel said, he said, you know, they lost games there in the middle, but they weren't blown out. They like, you know, the Houston game happened and some other mistakes. But they hung in there with Todd Bowles and they got rewarded for it. And now, you know, they'll have another year with the same coach, different coordinator, all that. But it's a good time, and you could tell how relaxed Joel was. It's a good time for their ownership of this franchise. It really is. It's not, you know, you're not the center of the universe like you were with Brady, but you're winning, and you're winning consistently, and that's really what they want to do.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some exciting news if you're a Lightning fan, Steve. You're checking the standings here. The Lightning drawing closer now to possibly getting that third playoff spot.
Yeah, well, the Maple Leafs lost on Tuesday night. So the Lightning are now just 4 points behind the Maple Leafs. With both teams have 11 games to go for the third seed.
Hmm.
And the Lightning play the Maple Leafs twice.
There you go.
You win those two games in regulation, and there's your 4 points you made up.
You got it, yeah.
So then it's, you know, what's your record the other nine games? So
just match the hatch, so to speak. Match.
But they've also lowered their magic number. It should be 15 now as Detroit lost in overtime.
Oof.
On Tuesday night. So 15 points would get you into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Boston is, the Lightning will play Boston tonight for a chance for 2 points. Boston played Tuesday night in Sunrise, 4-3. So they're coming off a back-to-back as they come to Amalie Arena, where the Lightning haven't played since Sunday. Although
right.
They're coming off a long road trip, so we'll see. Tonight's game's a 7:30 start, too, for 7 o'clock. It's on TNT as well. It's not Bally, so.
Give him an extra half hour, but yeah, I mean, after that road trip, it's, you know, probably welcomed
mm-hmm.
that they've had the time off. And I love the stretch run of the NHL, and I'm interested in the matchup. I think Florida is who you want to avoid in the first round, but you're going to have to get them at some point.
If the playoffs started today, it would be the Lightning and the Bruins.
Yeah, and that's doable. Like that sounds solid to me. That sounds like, okay, you can take home ice from them, and you know, you can play with the Bruins, and then you're probably going to get rewarded with playing Florida afterwards. Well,
then they would play the winner. If you win that, you would play the winner of Florida Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? You got to get past them anyway if you're going to win the Stanley Cup. So
yes.
At that point, who cares? You just don't want a quick exit from the postseason. And we've got a special treat for you tomorrow. Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, who, of course, has covered the Rays since before their inception, will be with us for opening day. Should be a national holiday in America. I don't know why it's not, but it is for me. And I am pumped for baseball. Yes, it is the cliche is it's a marathon. It's actually more than that. It's 162 games. It's, you know, it's 6 months of your life. And who knows where this story goes, but we do know that, you know, the Rays are one of the most winningest teams behind the Yankees and the Dodgers going back to, you know, when they began to have success in 08. So it'll be fun to talk to Mark because there's a lot of things going on with this team. There's injuries. There's intrigue. There's, you know, new starting pitching, an unbelievable bullpen, what the lineup is going to look like, who's likely to come back. So all of that tomorrow with Mark Topkin here on Sports Day Tampa Bay. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Steve Rusnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.